Welcome back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and on today's episode, I'm going to tell you why Texas State is going to win the Sun Belt. So as we dive into this new season, there is a ton of changes coming into the Sun Belt. And to kind of put it in perspective, you have 5 head coaching changes, you have 6 offensive coordinator changes, and you have 7 defensive coordinator changes. Now, right out the gate, you don't have a ton of returning production for the entire conference. And to me, it is really a 2-team race. And if you want to throw in, you know, maybe a couple, like one sleeper outlier, it's a 2-team race for me. And the team that I feel like that would compete most with Texas State is Appalachian State, but we'll get to them later and why I feel as if they're going to have a tougher path. So a couple things that really stand out to me for Texas State is going to be the job they did bringing in Jordan McLeod, which is the transfer quarterback from James Madison. And do not get it confused by any stretch of the imagination. He is the best Sun Belt quarterback. Now, there are other talented Sun Belt quarterbacks like Joey Aguilar at App State, even Jalen Rayner at Arkansas State, who are both really good. But they are not better than Jordan McLeod. It's not even really close. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to dive into the offensive and defensive units, and I'm going to make my case for Texas State. And by the end of this episode, you will see why that I view them as, not going to say like a cakewalk, but I feel very confident in penciling them in, not only into the championship game, but to win the Sun Belt overall. So let's dive in real quick. So from an offensive returning production standpoint, Texas State is 88th in offensive returning production and 36th in offensive S&P Plus ranking from 2023. Now, when we dive into the advanced statistics, they are extremely good for a Sun Belt team. I just want to preface that. Not to take this, those are okay rankings. No. These are really good from an offensive standpoint. So they were 20th in success rate, 36th in rushing success rate, and 15th in overall passing success rate. And then when you look at it from the explosive side of it, they're a little unbalanced, but still nothing, to worry about. Overall explosiveness, they were 50th, rushing explosiveness, 14th, and passing explosiveness, 99th. And then they also ranked 19th in points per opportunity per game. So not only are they moving the ball at a consistent rate inside, opponent's territory, they're capitalizing on those opportunities. And that's the difference in these smaller conferences. When you have units that are elite, they almost make up for the discrepancies for the rest of the team. So when I say discrepancy, I'm obviously talking about the defense, because the defense, not their best showing last year, to say the least. But there are some spots that are extremely promising. So from a defensive returning production standpoint, Texas State is 56th overall. Now, that's pretty solid, but the unit that is coming back from 109th at S&P Plus last year. So this is a bottom 30 defense from an efficiency standpoint. But let's dive into the underlying metrics, and I'm going to kind of give you the silver lining and why I feel as if not only is there room for improvement, but this isn't just like we're trying to make this seem better than it actually is. There's legitimate room for improvement here. So their overall defensive success rate was 46th, their rushing success rate 36th, and their passing success rate 77th. Now, none of that is elite, obviously, but that's something you can work with going forward. Like, they are slightly average or above average in staying ahead of the chains and whatnot. Now, Their biggest weakness by a wide margin is going to be they don't know how to stop explosive plays, like, at all. You know, they're going to have to get into the, you know, get into the war room and figure out how to limit these explosive plays in 2024. They're 127th in overall explosiveness plays allowed, 128th in rushing explosiveness allowed, and 111th in passing explosiveness allowed. Like I said, there's no sugarcoating it. They were god-awful. So the thing that is the biggest positive, though, is when we go into their havoc rate, they're 16th in overall defensive havoc rate last year. Now, this is an unbalanced unit because they are 5th in front 7 havoc rate and 117th in defensive back havoc rate. So that lets me know that the majority of the weaknesses on defense are coming from that secondary. Now, that's not saying that they can't improve because, you know, they're going to have decent production coming back. And let's just be honest here, okay? There are no elite defenses outside – or, well, there are no elite defenses in the Sun Belt this year. Now, I know last year you had Troy, which was 28th in defensive S&P Plus, and James Madison, that was 43rd in defensive S&P Plus. And that's fantastical. But as we'll get to them in a little bit, you'll understand why I'm not really concerned about that. You know, the rest of the conference is pretty abysmal. Which is expected. Normally, when you have these smaller conferences, defense is not going to be their calling card. So the one thing that really stands out to me is when we get to the regression statistics. So they're 2-3-1 score games, -1 in turnover margin, which is 74th overall, and they are absolutely dead last in fumble luck last year. They're -6.71 in fumble luck. Now, think about that for a second. If they were just average in fumble luck, their turnover margin would look something like +6, +7. That's pretty incredible. And I really think that there's, I mean, again, there's nowhere to go but up. Similar to like their explosiveness allowed, correct? You know, we're just asking for them to incrementally get better. And the reason I feel like they're going to get better in both of these areas is there is just so much disarray in the conference when it comes to the coaching changes and the lack of returning production. And because of that, they're going to be able to improve in some of these areas. So one thing that really stands out to me is the prohibited best team last year was obviously James Madison. You know, that doesn't even really, you know, it's not even really up for debate. But the thing is, James Madison loses their entire coaching staff. They all left. They all transferred to Indiana, which is a team we'll get to in a later episode that has the potential to have a very, you know, sneaky good first season underneath them. Then they lose their starting quarterback. He is now here in Texas State. And then, to on top of all that, they're 121st in offensive returning production and 130th in defensive returning production. And I'm looking at their win total, and it says 8.5. And I have no idea. I don't understand that. The only difference there is they play the easiest strength of schedule in college football. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not betting on that profile, though. If that's the profile that beats me, then, you know, I tip my hat. But I'm not going to be backing teams with these just backwards, you know, movements. And, you know, Vegas wants to put them at 8.5 win totals. That's good for them. They can lay that up there, and I'm not going to question, like, their skills, but I'm not going to be leaning into that. That's not what we're doing here. When we're looking at data-driven analysis and we're looking, you know, at things that make sense. So on top of that, you have Appalachian State, who is going to have regression in these volatile statistics. They were top 10 in, you know, fumble luck and they're going to have a very difficult strength of schedule. Their strength of schedule is 50th overall. They play some really, really tough teams. And I think, you know, I think when it comes to, you know, having to face off against Texas State, which it will be in the championship if they both get there, that's going to be kind of tough. You know, now when we look into Texas State's overall schedule, their hardest games are probably going to be at Troy and then at South Alabama to end the year. Now, Troy is another team that in the past has been, you know, a team that you really would expect great things from. But again, this year, 125th in returning production offense, 129th in returning production defense, and they're bringing in Gerard Parker, the former Notre Dame offensive coordinator, as the head coach. And I'm going to be honest, not really impressed with what he did at Notre Dame last year. A lot of people, you know, thought he did really great, but I really thought they left a lot on the field. And the type of offense he ran with that type of talent just did not make sense to me. And that's probably why they fell short of any realistic goal that they had last year. But I digress. And so they're going to have, again, a very bad returning production profile, just like James Madison. They're going to have a continuity change, and they also do not have a quarterback that took at least 125 dropbacks last year. So I'm not backing these profiles at all. It's not something I'm going to advocate for. Now, as we look at Texas State, when it comes to the overall like odds, you know, plus 250 to make the Sun Belt Championship is very good. That's very solid. And they remember the Sun Belt is the only conference that has divisions still. I don't know why. I guess they missed the memo when all the other conferences changed over. But for whatever reason, they still have divisions. So at plus 250, they're the favorite to win their division. I feel like that is very generous. I would have had them much lower, especially being the conference schedule that they play. And then they are plus 480 to win the Sun Belt, or you know, plus 500, depending on where you can get it. I think both of those numbers are definitely in play. You can use them as straight wagers. You can use them in round robins, parlay. You know, feel free. Go wild. Get crazy. Now, I know we're going to circle back to Jordan McLeod. I did an episode, an article on the Sun Belt QBs earlier in the month, or last month, excuse me. And, you know, I know when I make these statements, like he is the best quarterback in the Sun Belt, I want everybody to kind of have a little context to that, right? So 10th overall, 3,657 passing yards, 35 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. And those are just the counting stats, right? The biggest question mark for me is going to be how he is used in this offense. Now, Texas State last year, they used TJ Finley as a almost like a dink and dunk style quarterback. And that's fine because he fit that mold. And there's nothing wrong with that. The offense did great. You know, more power to him, right? That is not Jordan McLeod. They need to open up the offense for him so he can elevate it to a level even higher than it was last year. And if they do that, I feel like the ceiling or the sky is the limit, especially in the Sun Belt. Now, I don't, you know, foresee them having any real shot at making the playoff. I know they could be one of the last, they could be the last automatic qualifier, but the Sun Belt is just not going to get that love. And rightfully so. I mean, let's just be real here. None of these teams would be a top three team probably in any of the other major group of five conferences. And that's, you know, nothing against them. Those are just the facts. So that's going to be it for this episode. This is our last conference preview episode. We will, We will continue. We got about 3 weeks left, and we're going to dive more into some nuanced things, whether it's the Heisman, whether it's teams that can win six games or more, teams that can win 10 games or more, alternate lines, teams that are going to be regressing, that we're trying to fade, teams that we're going to be backing, that are on the up, which obviously we've went over a ton of those already. But we're going to be diving more into those. I am going to see if I can get my hands on some college football player props. It's kind of hard, depending on where you live in the country, to get a real line for that. Because I think there is a ton of value in those lines, simply because it's just basic theory. There's too many games and there's too many teams. And if they put out too many, if they put out a bunch of, college prop lines for players, whether it's daily or season long, they just can't get them all right. They can't. And it's new. It's not something that, it's not like the NFL where they've been, honing those lines and making them sharp for decades now. So, but yeah, as always, I will release a correlating article on my website, themintnermethod.com. And again, if you want to reach out and suggest episode topic, talk about the data, talk about the processes, anything of that, I'm all ears. You can reach me at on Twitter, or you can email me at themintnermethod@gmail.com. I'm more than open to have a discourse with anyone. Other than that, thanks again for making it through all these previews and all these episodes so far, and hope to catch you on the next one. Take care.